Thank you, and thank you again for having me and for the section for supporting this. And I did also bring my advisor here with me today. Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge Dr. Hopeworth for her guidance and support and for being here as well. I will be discussing social support and outcomes of an early birth, and this present study is part of a larger study that I did conduct for my dissertation research, examining several outcomes of health and well-being for adolescent mothers and their children. However, today I will be focusing on the outcome of breastfeeding duration for adolescent mothers. Okay. I do not have any financial relationships to disclose. As we're all well aware, teen childbearing continues to be of concern in the U.S. as it continues to have the highest rates among comparable industrialized nations. And despite the recent declines, this is still an area of continuing concern. However, young mothers may not have access to the information or the supports that are necessary to be making good decisions around health behaviors during the prenatal period. We know that they may engage in later enrollment of prenatal care as well as use of alcohol and tobacco. They may also be engaging in less helpful behaviors after the pregnancy, after childbirth and the postpartum period, such as not breastfeeding or ending breastfeeding early. There are numerous health benefits to breastfeeding, as we all know, for both the mother and the child in terms of health, and that is why the American Academy of Pediatrics, as we're mostly familiar with, recommends exclusive breastfeeding till 6 months, as well as continuing on through the end of the first year or even beyond. This is also consistent with the recent Healthy People 2020 goals of increasing the proportion of mothers who initiate breastfeeding who have ever breastfed, as well as increasing the proportion who are continuing on to 6 months, as well as through the end of the first year. We know that adolescent mothers do have some of the lowest rates of breastfeeding among all maternal age groups. According to data from the National Immunization Survey, 55% of adolescent mothers initiated breastfeeding at all, compared to 69% of 20 to 29-year-old mothers, and 78% of mothers who are over 30 years old. So we can see that trend there in terms of the age groups. So teen mothers and their infants, however, may benefit the most from breastfeeding. There's some evidence that it may contribute to better child spacing as well as increasing self-esteem and confidence for these mothers. But it also requires high levels of support for them in terms of initiation as well as continuing on and with that. Living arrangements may contribute to this in terms of providing support for the young mother in terms of who she lives with. Partner support has been shown to improve the rates and experience of breastfeeding and adolescent mothers. How did I get back there? Sorry. Okay. No? What happened? There we go. Sorry about that. We know that marriage is rare right now. Few adolescents are married at the time of birth, but there is an increase in the number of adolescent mothers who are cohabiting at the time of their first birth. The majority of teens may still be living with a parent or parents, but I think it's important to look at these different living arrangements and the possible support that they might provide. So this is a kind of new context of adolescent childbearing as these different living arrangements are changing, particularly the increase in cohabitation for adolescent mothers. So though previous research has, of course, documented the higher risks that adolescent mothers face in terms of outcomes both prenatally, at birth, and in the postpartum period, the level of resources and support that are provided in these different relationships, these different living arrangements, may moderate that relationship. Sorry. Okay, I'm just pushing the wrong thing here. All right, so that's why the study objective aimed at examining the association between maternal age at first birth and the risk of breastfeeding cessation, as well as the extent to which these different living arrangements of the mother might moderate that risk. The study addresses several important gaps in the literature, particularly the examination of social support, here defined by living arrangements, in that few studies have been able to look at both parent and partner living arrangements for adolescent mothers, and few studies have been able to include cohabitation. This study also focuses on the developmental stages of adolescence, including early, middle, and late adolescence, whereas previous studies have looked at adolescents as a monolithic group or only been able to include those who are ages 15 to 19, not including younger adolescents in that. The study also uses large national representative data, whereas previous studies have used small or convenience samples. Okay. The study design, I used combined data from the National Survey of Family Growth, the Cycle 6 2002 data, as well as more recent continuous 2006 to 2008 data. There were two samples in the study. The first sample is a larger sample of young adult and adolescent mothers. They were young adults or adolescents at the time of birth. However, at the time of the survey, they were older, ages 20 to 44 at the time of the survey, but having given birth to their first child before the age of 25. So before missing data, the sample size is 4,477. These respondents were grouped into maternal age groups of early adolescence at the time of the first birth, so 10 to 14, middle adolescence, 15 to 17, late adolescence, 18 to 19, or the young adults, which were ages 20 to 24. And the living arrangements examined here included a married or cohabiting partner. Because of the large sample size, I was able to examine a more nuanced measure of the partner support there with the married or cohabiting partners. After removing cases missing data on the breastfeeding variable, the final sample size was 3,357. Data may have been missing for the breastfeeding variable due to a multiple birth, or if the child was adopted or had died, or if the child was over the age of 19 at the time of survey. So this was more likely for women who had a very early birth and were older at the time of survey. So that retrospectively, the child might have been 19 when the questions were being asked. So that was why some of the data was missing on that. That affected the current teen sample less. So the second sample is a smaller, more focused subsample of mothers who are currently adolescents at the time of the survey. So they were ages 15 to 19 at the time of the survey and had already given birth to their first child as an adolescent. And that was 215. Those age groups, because of the smaller sample size, were divided into early and late adolescents, 13 to 16 and 17 to 19. Because they were currently adolescents, it was able to examine more of their more detail in their living arrangements at the time. So that included one parent, two parents, or a category of partner, and that was a combination of cohabiting and married partners. After removing cases missing on breastfeeding, the final sample was 202 for that. The study variables, the main variable, independent variable, is maternal age at the first birth, and that was the respondent's age at their first live birth. These were coded in dummy variables for the adolescent and young adult age groups, which I just mentioned, for the two separate samples. The moderator was the living arrangements, and that was their living arrangements at the time of that first live birth. Again, these were dummy coded for one parent, two parents, married, cohabiting partner, or no parent or partner identified at that time. And the dependent variable of breastfeeding duration was the number of weeks that the respondent reported breastfeeding over that first year. I also included background and demographic controls in all of the analyses, including the maternal education level is the education level of the respondent's mother, income measures, race, ethnicity, age at first sexual intercourse, wantedness of the pregnancy, age of the baby's father, and then controls for which cycle of the survey they came from, as well as their current age group. For the larger sample. This is a conceptual model just showing the control variables, age at first birth being the main independent variable, outcome of the duration of breastfeeding, which in the analysis will be analyzed as the risk of breastfeeding cessation, and the moderator of the living arrangements at the time of the first birth. The analyses used in the study, first just descriptive analyses of all the study variables, so looking at the mean, frequency, and t-test. The life table analysis examines breastfeeding survival rates over the first year by age and sample. And the main analysis was the proportional hazard event history analysis, regressing the risk of breastfeeding cessation by weeks over the first year on the first birth age groups and including all the controls. And those who breastfed until the end of the first year or who were still breastfeeding at the time of the survey were censored. A moderation analysis was included in the second model of each sample, and that tested the interactions between living arrangements and maternal age groups for significance as evidence of the moderation. The study hypotheses are generally based on the premise that younger mothers will be at higher risk for quitting breastfeeding earlier than older mothers. However, those mothers residing with a partner or a spouse will be at lower risk for quitting breastfeeding based on that partner support. some characteristics of the mothers in the sample for the larger sample of adolescent and young adult mothers. Just under 1% were in the category of early adolescence at the time of their first birth, so 10 to 14 years old. About 13% were ages 15 to 17 at the time of the first birth. A little over 20% were 18 to 19 years old. And 64% were 20 to 24 years old at the time of birth, so young adults. They breastfed for an average of 13 weeks. And of the total sample, 46% were married, 23% cohabiting, and the remainder did not indicated not having a partner at the time of their birth. For the smaller current adolescent sample, 41% were considered early adolescents, ages 13 to 16, and the remainder were 17 to 19. They breastfed for an average of 8 weeks. 17% lived with one parent, 21% with two parents, 45% with a partner. Okay. Just generally to look at the living arrangements by each age group, you can see that the proportion of married or cohabiting mothers increases with age for both samples. For the current adolescent sample, it's at 27.4%, you can see that a higher proportion of early adolescent mothers were living with one parent at the time of first birth. Okay. And the life table analysis results looking at the proportion still breastfeeding. Generally, there's higher levels of breastfeeding with older age, consistent with previous research. However, you can see all of these groups are falling below Healthy People's 2020 objectives, particularly the current adolescent sample. Okay. The results of the proportional hazards analysis for the larger sample of adolescent and young adults, maternal age was not found to be a significant predictor, so not supporting hypotheses 1A and 1B. However, for the main effects of living arrangements, married mothers did have a 17% lower risk of breastfeeding cessation. And then in the second model, looking at the moderation effects, cohabiting middle adolescents had an 18% lower risk of breastfeeding cessation, so supporting hypothesis 1C. For the smaller adolescent sample of current adolescent mothers, maternal age again was not a significant predictor, so not supporting the hypothesis in regards to that. In terms of the moderation effects, neither parent nor partner living arrangements were significant predictors in this model as well. In discussing this, this analysis was not able to detect significant age differences in breastfeeding patterns among adolescents after controlling for these other characteristics which may be related, particularly race and maternal educational levels. There was significant moderation of cohabitation, however, found for middle adolescents, indicating that a partner may provide resources and support for young mothers to continue breastfeeding over the first year. We know that adolescent mothers face many challenges in breastfeeding, particularly returning to work and reentry to school, as these may not be environments that are able to support continued breastfeeding. Some limitations of this study, it was cross-sectional, not able to imply causality. There were limitations on the living arrangements variable, here used as a proxy for social support, but not a direct measure. We did not use a direct measure of the quality of that social support. Some missing data on the breastfeeding duration and small sample size for the current adolescents. I'd like to include additional cycles of the NSFG in future research to increase the sample size, as well as including additional controls for infant and birth characteristics, which may also be affecting breastfeeding. For example, low birth weight infants or infants born with other complications that may affect initiating or continuing breastfeeding. Breastfeeding appears to differ by maternal age, however, as I said, significant differences in risk of breastfeeding cessation were not found between adolescent age groups when other factors were also controlled for. However, these findings do indicate the importance of supportive partner living arrangements for teen mothers in reducing the risk of breastfeeding cessation. The study contributes to the literature on adolescent childbearing by exploring these new situational contexts of the living arrangements of adolescent mothers. Some of the public health implications, improving outcomes for adolescent mothers, of course, continues to remain an important goal, and some more research is necessary to examine the role of the living arrangements and the support that may be provided in continuing breastfeeding. Further investigation is also needed to explore racial and ethnic and educational differences in quitting breastfeeding, as well as this influence of work and school reentry for adolescent mothers. Finally, breastfeeding education and support efforts should endeavor to include partners, as well as begin during pregnancy before the infant is born. Thank you very much.